What's up, guys? My name's Blue Rivera, and I'm the host of Blue Presents a podcast where I discuss all things music and how it affects my life. And hey, man, are you looking for a podcast that talks about every aspect of music? Well, then Blue Presents a podcast is that podcast for you. We're available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts, and across other streaming platforms. So if you're looking for a journey into music and how we all relate to music, then come check out Blue Presents a podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Roads We Travel podcast. My name is AJ Peltier. Thank you again for tuning in, subscribing, all the great stuff on all our networks, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever you guys get your podcasts from. I appreciate it. Thank you all very much. Let's keep it up. Tell your friends, tell your family. I would love if you did. Need more and more listeners every day. Give me the listeners. I need them. Anyway, thank you again for tuning in. It's been kind of a rough week for me. I had a long work week, made a couple bad parts that, unfortunately, had to scrap because, they're no good. And it kind of bit me in the ass a little bit. So kind of a long, rough week, but it is what it is. But I did have some fun last night when I, got out from my part-time job. I was streaming with friends and, we played this crazy ass game called Duck Game and never heard of it. A lot of fun, though. It's just, I talk about it in today's episode a little bit, but it's just like, I guess it's an Adult Swim game or something like that, but you're just like a cartoon duck and you're just basically blasting away your friends and stuff. It was just a lot of fun, but yeah, that really took me out of my funk. So thank you to my Twitch friends and streamers for, getting me out of my funk last night. I had a lot of fun. But anyway, let's get into today's guest. My guest today is Brittany Brown from the Nightcap, true crime podcast. Brittany and I met online through this podcast community group. She put out a post in the group saying that she was looking to be a guest on a show where people talked about mental health, and so she could open up about her struggles and her struggles with addiction and being sober for 5 years now. So I immediately hit her up. I wanted her to be a guest on my show. And she really dug deep for this episode. She opened up a lot about, dealing with depression, ADHD, bipolarism, being a mother on top of it while fighting to stay, before she made the decision to be sober, just what it was like for her between alcohol and drug abuse, and then just waking up one day saying she wanted to be sober. So this really was an inspirational episode. She was such a great guest. I want to have her come back. I had a lot of fun chatting with her and then getting to talk a little bit about true crime and stuff, which was a lot of fun. So definitely check out her podcast. I'll leave the link below. She does it with two other great people, Gavin and Susie. It's a great podcast. Check it out. Let's get right into it today. Let's hit the road with Miss Brittany Brown. Welcome to the Roads We Travel podcast, episode 29. My name is AJ Peltier. Thank you again for tuning in and subscribing and all that jazz. I appreciate it. We got a great guest today, my new friend who I met through the podcast community on Facebook, my friend Brittany Brown of the Nightcap, a true crime podcast. How are you, Brittany?
I'm exhausted, but other than that, I'm doing okay.
All right. Well, that's good.
I got my coffee, so we're solid.
There you go. Yeah, I wish I was a coffee drinker. I'm not a coffee drinker at all. I love the smell of it. I just can't take the taste of it.
Yeah, I used to be one that would put like all the creamer and all the sugar in, and it like didn't taste like coffee anymore. And then like as I get older, I'm like, oh yes, the taste of coffee, delicious.
There you go. Yeah, it's more of an acquired taste. My buddy was the same way for a while. Now he drinks it black, and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, I can't quite go there, but. Look at my dog looks just like fucking chilling.
What's the dog?
Distract me.
What's the dog's name?
That is Jezebel.
Oh, Jezebel.
she's my asshole little furry soulmate.
Oh, there you go. But yeah. Anyway. Like I said before we started recording, my cat is off camera right now. She's the unofficial, I guess, host of my podcast because she likes rudely interrupting all the time. Her name is Isabella. I'm sure she'll be in at some point. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say she'll just probably snooze there and then try to yell at someone at some point.
I love animals. They're all great. So how's life going during the pandemic for you? You're all the way on the West Coast while I'm over here on the East Coast.
Yeah, I'm in Portland. It has been, as far as like not being able to go out and do stuff, it's not that different because I am very introverted. I'm like an extroverted introvert. So I talk a lot, but I like just being home.
I'm the same way.
Yeah. So, I mean, like a lot of people, obviously work was like very affected by it. I was in two industries that I thought were like untouchable by everything. Like my main job was working for a company that assisted with expediting visas and passports.
Oh, okay.
For corporate travel. And like,
you didn't come across Ted Cruz by any chance, did you?
No. God, that's a whole nother topic.
Oh man, this joke is gonna be old by the time this podcast airs, but it's still freshly new in our eyes right now.
Exactly.
So.
It just happened. So so like 75% of our like business was helping with China visas. And okay. So like we were sorry, I didn't even ask customers.
Swear away, please.
Okay, good. I don't even realize I'm doing it half the time. I'll be like in my kids' class, like, yeah, we just were like fucking blah blah. And I'm like, I don't like it's just natural now. We were like fucked like before everyone even knew that this was a thing. So that was like right away. And then I had just finally gone back to school after like 15 years and gotten my esthetician's license.
Oh, good for you.
But you know, I got the license in January of 2020. Ooh. And I was trying to start up my own facial business where one of my taglines was, let me touch your face.
Oh no.
So.
That didn't pan out.
No. So, yeah. So I was like in the industries of travel and beauty, like two things that you're like, no matter what, everyone's going to travel and everyone's going to no, right. They don't need that. So that was a weird adjustment, like right at the beginning. But I mean, it's just kind of been whatever. I mean, the only time that I really like feel like, oh fuck, this is depressing is I'm from California and I had to go visit a couple times. A friend of mine was having surgery and so I was there just helping him out through that,
right?
And it was when I was in California that I would like notice, you know, because in Portland I just stay home, but in San Jose when I go there are people I like to see, places I like to go. And so going there during the pandemic and being like, well, fuck, I can't, like, I'm only here for a few days and I can't see these people and do these things.
Right.
Like,
cause you got to clean and whatever. Right.
Yeah. And just everything's closed and, you know, and so that was when it was like, that's when it kind of hit like, oh man, this sucks. But, I mean, you know, shit happens and we'll all get through it. So it'll be.
Like I said, at least there, on a previous episode, I'm just glad there's a vaccine finally. And, you know.
Yeah. Things are starting to, I think indoor dining just recently like reopened in Portland. I don't know for sure, but.
Here in Connecticut where I live, it's been very minimal for, God, I don't even know now. It's been at least like 5-6 months, I want to say. Like we were like small capacity indoors, especially when winter started hitting. You know, they were allowing people in. They like all the bars have like sectioned off areas where it's like three seats at a bar and then there's like two plates of glass and everything like that. So I've only been on a handful of times myself because one of my friends is a bartender and you know, occasionally if I have money or whatever, like I would go out, but I try to stay home as much as possible too. It's like I got family that are at high risk that if I caught COVID, which I'm pretty sure I had it at one point, you know, they can susceptibly pass away from it. So
my ex, but we're like pretty sure that he had it like in January of 2020 because he was so sick. And then it wasn't until like, you know, probably June, July, we were like, oh fuck, wait a minute. Like, I think that you probably had it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, I don't drink and I don't really do much. So it's, I'm not in a rush to get back out, but
right.
I don't know. At least knowing
that. Plus you're a mom too, you know, you got kids and stuff.
Yes.
Right? How many kids?
I have two. Oh, okay. Yeah. The 8-year-old and a 15-year-old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, 15-year-old is pretty self-sufficient, which is nice. And my 8-year-old is just my little shadow. So, yeah, so it's, you know, a lot of my time is a little busy with that. Yeah, they're amazing though. They're really
that's
rad. Good,
though. That's understandable though, you know. And yeah. that's awesome. I don't have kids personally myself, so I do have a niece and a nephew. My nephew is going to be a senior soon. Oh my god. And yeah, and my niece, she's in 4th grade now, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm terrible. Yeah.
It's fine. I can't even, especially with how like the distance learning is. I'm like, you're in 3rd grade, 1st. Right. What are you in right now? Like, yeah.
Right.
No, it's 3rd grade though. I do know that. But yeah, it's crazy.
You said you originally from California. What was it like growing up there, and how was it growing up?
So I'm from San Jose, which is in the Bay Area. And it was, I mean, I lived in a neighborhood called Alma Den, and that was like the rich, ritzy neighborhood, but I lived on like the only original street in Alma Den. So like,
right.
I lived like at the end of this dirt road in like this, like really old house that was built in like, who knows when. And just, we had like half an acre of land, and it was like surrounded by like all these mansions. And so I went to this high school that was like all these like rich, ritzy kids, and you know, and then it was like me, who I don't look that much different than I did in high school. So it was like all these, you know, like uppity kids, and then like Brittany coming through. So it was a unique experience. You know, I had family issues, and it was a very unique household, and I don't know, it all shaped a lot of who I am, which is cool. But I mean, I talk a lot, and I have ADHD, so when a question is asked, I go
this whole podcast is just, you know, easygoing conversation, and it's just mainly just, you know, you say something, I branch off it a little bit just to keep the conversation going and stuff like that. So it's a very laid back podcast, so you don't gotta worry.
Okay, if I'm ever talking about something, you're like, just tell me to shut the fuck up.
No, no, please.
You know what, bitch? Growing up was, you know, I mean, I grew up with, you know, my mom struggled with alcoholism and addiction. And, you know, my parents divorced when I was 16, but should have divorced a lot sooner kind of thing. So, I mean, it was a little rough, but I had a family that loved me very much, but it was, you know, I had my struggles, and, and yeah, I have two younger brothers that are amazing. And so, I mean, it just was.
I hear you. My parents didn't have any problems with addiction or anything, but my grandfather, who I never met on my dad's side, died when my dad was 16. But his father was an abusive alcoholic, and my dad's childhood was very rough.
Yeah.
And, you know, it definitely left some scars, I want to say, you know, emotional and stuff like that, that I really feel like to this day he could have gotten out with like therapy or talking to some sort of counselor or whatever. But I mean, I don't want to say my father's a bad person because he's not.
Yeah.
But he definitely isolates a lot. He shuts down like whenever him and my mother would argue. My parents separated too when I was a sophomore in high school, so I was probably roughly around 16 as well.
Yeah.
And you know, whenever they would argue, it was just like he would just shut down. He would just like either leave, get in the car, wouldn't say anything. And, you know, my mother finally had enough of it. But my father would, you know, grow up with like major trust issues. Like he mm-hmm. didn't even trust like me or anybody else in my family for the most part to this day. And I've said in previous episodes, but I'll, you know, tell you that my father and I aren't as close as we used to be. You know, he had a heart attack a few years ago and didn't tell anybody.
Oh my gosh.
It was hard. It was, I found out the week after. I was one of his emergency contacts on top of it. And nobody called me. And he called me the week after he was already home resting. Of course I flipped out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, like, so
probably should have told me that.
Yeah. And there was just a whole lot of other stuff between stuff going on in his personal life, like him getting remarried and not telling anybody. And I found out by accident. And then he's telling me to like, not tell anybody like the rest of my family. And then he has this heart attack and I'm like, what the fuck, man? Like, how am I, if you died, how am I going to explain your other life to everyone else? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
no, exactly. I think that it's really, I don't know. I'm just thinking back to like, my childhood, like before I got sober, like there was a lot that I would blame on, you know, oh well, my mom did this or my childhood was like this and that's why I'm doing this, and you know, and I think it's important to like not ignore like what happens to us and like definitely what happens, you know, in our life. It shapes part of your life, but I think that a lot of people, and I know like for me myself, like I use that as a crutch, like, oh, well, my life is fucked up because my childhood was fucked up and like not my fault. And it gives us the excuse to like not work on ourselves because we're able to just be like, well, no, I'm doing this because this happened to me.
Right.
And, you know, and eventually, I mean, and it wasn't even like right when I got sober, it was, you know, after at least a few months of like step work and stuff, but just, realizing that it's okay to like acknowledge the shit that happened to you, but like that, okay, you can't control what happened to you, but you can control how you move forward with it.
Exactly.
And using, you know, I mean, I could sit here and blame, you know, a lot of my issues and what I do and how I feel on, okay, well, my mom did this when I was younger and my mom would say this to me and this and that, but that doesn't do anything, you know, except like just harbor of resentment. And so you know, so yeah, it's, I guess it's, I've gotten used to, I acknowledge and I know what happened, and I've gotten used to like, I don't necessarily include that in my story whenever I'm getting to know people now, because it's not, like I said, I used to use that and be like, oh, I had such a bad childhood and my mom was an alcoholic and my mom treated me poorly. And, you know, because in that way, if they're like, Brittany's being a bitch, like, oh, well, she had a bad childhood, you know, and it's like, that's not what, you know. So I'm just like thinking back to, that's how I would have answered it before. I was like, kind of brushed over it. But
I definitely hear you though. Cause I mean, like a lot of it, like I probably like years ago could have blamed a lot of it on my childhood as well too. But like you're saying too, I know now, you know, now that I'm 34 now, you know what I mean? I've had a lot of time to grow. Oh, awesome. When's your birthday?
July 27th.
Ah, mine just passed. Mine was on the 3rd. So
happy birthday.
Thank you. but yeah, no, looking back now, I definitely know, things were definitely not easy for my parents at times. My older brother is a leukemia survivor, and he had leukemia in second grade, and it was definitely rough on my parents financially. My father had his own business. He was working like 80 hours a week to like pay for treatment and stuff like that. Like he's a total saint for doing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And put a lot of hard work in, and, you know, thinking back, you know, oh, where's dad? Well, he was working his ass off to pay for Tom's medical bills. You know what I mean?
And yeah,
my mother working crazy hours as well while trying to raise a family, you know, they definitely did all right in my book. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things I wish they would have done differently, but I mean, you know, what else can you do? You can't blame them for stuff like that, you know? So I feel like my parents did all right in my book. I do feel guilty sometimes too about, like I said earlier, my relationship with my dad isn't the greatest right now, but I would still be there in a heartbeat for him if something happened to him.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. So, but I definitely feel like growing as a person, in the last few years, I want to say I've been through my share of heartache and stress and depression. I suffer from depression hardcore, and I've done a lot of good work. I feel like I checked into therapy a couple of years back because I was having severe suicidal thoughts, and you know, a lot was going wrong in my life. And if I didn't go back to therapy, I don't know where I'd be. And Discord needs to shut the fuck up. I'm getting so many notifications right now from my friends in Discord. I can't figure out how to mute it. You're ruining this conversation, Discord. God damn you. I'm so not technically advanced. I apologize to my listeners and my viewers, but if you keep hearing a bloop, that's my Discord.
I'm not hearing
friends.
It at all.
I'm hearing it. I'm
okay,
hearing
okay.
It.
So you're so like,
it's gonna
I'm in
come
the thought,
out on my,
and then it's
it's gonna come out on my audio, and I'm gonna okay. be, I'm gonna get so mad.
Is it on your laptop or
no? It's on my PC, so it's it is what it is. I don't even know which group it is. Like,
I know. I just looked how to turn on Do Not Disturb on my laptop because right. I didn't like. I just never thought to do it. And I'd like say something and Siri would be like, what's that? And I'm like, nothing, bitch. I didn't talk to you. Like
it's one of these. All right. So I, full disclosure, I'm definitely a nerd. You know, I do a lot of geeky things, and I have a separate podcast with some of my friends from the music scene where we talked about, we haven't done an episode in a while, but we've done a lot of like pop culture stuff and stuff like that. But nice. I recently joined an online D&D group. I've never played D&D in my life. So I'm like walking through blind on this whole thing. And I'm just like, okay, I guess I'm a ranger. And
you're all, okay, like yeah. I guess I'll do this now.
They're like what's your background story? And I'm like, we have to have a background story. I'm like,
girl, this is really intense.
God, and Discord is still going off. Oh my god, I thought I hit mute. Oh my god. Okay, I apologize, listeners. I'm sorry. Anyway, getting back to it, this is gonna be such a funny podcast.
I do want to circle back because I had let me just
yes, please.
Have you ever heard of the podcast The Adventure Zone?
No.
Okay, so let me go on a tangent. So my absolute favorite podcast in the world is called My Brother, My Brother and Me, and it is it's the three McElroy brothers, and they are just the funniest motherfuckers in the world. Like, they just have the stupidest humor, and it's like an advice podcast. Okay. But they'll take it, you know, questions from listeners, and they give terrible good advice. And then they also do like questions from Yahoo Answers that which are just ridiculous. And
right.
Anyways, they're amazing. And they have a bunch of podcasts under their belt. They actually just came out with a book called Everybody Has a Podcast Except You. And
I think I've heard of it.
It's so, I just love them so much. Like, they have literally like been my therapy like this whole past year. Anyways, they have a podcast called The Adventure Zone where they play D&D with their dad, and that's the podcast. And like, none of them had ever played D&D before.
Right.
And anyways, it's fucking hilarious. And there's like graphic novels from right. it. And I think they're coming out with a show. So
that's so cool.
Check that out.
I'll definitely have to look into it.
Up your alley. I like plug Bim Bam all the time, even though like they don't need it. And I'm not like, I was trying to post in one of the podcast groups, like, you guys should all get this book. And they like didn't, they're like, no plugging your links. And I'm like, trust me, they don't need me to plug this. It's just my like suggestion.
Right.
I don't know these guys, but anyways, yeah. So you should listen to the Adventure Zone. It's, they're just, they're,
I'll have to check it out. Yeah. It's,
I have them on my water bottle. I love nice. Them.
I got a few podcast shirts in the closet over there. I got a Last Podcast on the Left, which is my absolute favorite true crime podcast. Next year is, of course, my new favorite one.
So I showed my co-hosts your message, and they were like, "That's fucking like that's such a compliment." So that had us all tickled. We were super stoked to have that comparison. So
I'm sure you're familiar with the show then, obviously. Mm-hmm. Oh, I fucking love those guys.
Yeah.
And I also listen to like Wizard and the Bruiser to get my pop culture knowledge fix and whatever. Nice. And then I listen to a lot of Rooster Teeth, and that's about it. But you know, anyway, circling back.
there we go with that ADHD tangent.
I kind of feel like I might have it too, because it's like, you know, I'll go off on tangents and I'm like, what was I talking about? Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Whatever. Anyway, I was just diagnosed as an adult, so you know.
I have friends that
talk to someone about it.
Right. I actually, my last guest, he recently he thinks he was diagnosed with it, and they put him on some medication just to like try it out and see what happens. And he was like, "Yeah, I think it's working, because like it's helping with some anxiety, some depression. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit more focused now." And I'm like, "That's great, man." Like,
yeah.
So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. I take Adderall now for it, and it my neighbor is just out of control.
I thought that was another, just like a wait, what?
Literally like squirrel. No, my neighbor is like, I don't know what the fuck they're doing. It always sounds like they're like dropping a weight on the floor. And I'm like, what are you doing up there?
Yeah, I got asshole neighbors too, except they have loud cars and my bedroom is right by the driveway and I work nights. God. So yeah, they like waking me up in the morning.
These people are awful. It's anyways, okay, whole other tangent. I don't even know what I was saying. All right, let's go back to what we were talking about before we went off on 500 things.
Right, we were talking about like growing up and like becoming you know, more self-aware and not blaming so much on our past and stuff like that. So I definitely agree with you a lot. Like, you know, I started getting into shape again. Like, until I bought an elliptical behind me, I got a total gym in the other room, and
nice,
canceled my gym membership because I'm not fucking going there during COVID. Hell no.
I know. I got the COVID fluffies, and I'm like, I really want to go back to the gym, but I think I'm just gonna get an elliptical with my tax return whenever the fuck it gets here.
I hear Peloton's really good too. I almost bought one, but
everybody has one. I'm like, I'll find one on Facebook Marketplace for like $100 and call it a day.
I know Bowflex had a nice one for a little while where it, like, it goes like side to side too. I was like, that's fucking crazy. I don't need that. Like,
I'll get motion sickness.
Yeah, same here. But anyway, we're talking a little bit about our interests here. Like, why don't we just let's dive deeper into that as I'm getting my words twisted here. So we're talking podcasts and stuff. Like, what kind of music are you into?
Everything. And I know that's such a cliche answer.
Live near a train station too, I'm hearing in the background.
Oh my God. Yes. I'm telling you, I mean, thank you, microphone, for being so amazing, but like my window's closed, my blinds are closed. It's like a mile away.
Fuck trains pulling through to fuck up your podcast.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. This is why.
And
I
Discord,
report, like...
dude, Discord is the other guest that's just smashing my end, like, to no fucking. This is going to be honestly the funniest, it's going to be like really good as always, you know, but it's going to be probably one of the funniest ones with all the background noise on my
end. Anyone that knows me will not be surprised at what a clusterfuck the first podcast I guest on is. So don't worry.
Anyway.
Yeah, music. It's kind of all over the place, but I would say I definitely am still stuck in my senior year of high school when it comes to music. I grew up with, my dad's a musician and my mom is a music lover. So I'm going to, I swear to fuck, I'm about to get something and just start like pounding on my ceiling.
Hey, you, quiet up there. You got the broomstick and everything.
I did the other day. They'll like awesome. Fucking party until like 3 a.m. and it's really annoying. Anyways, that's a whole, okay. Focus.
Relax, it's fine.
Getting all worked up now. Yeah, so anyways, I grew up with like all kinds of music and an appreciation for all music. And so, you know, but my like playlists are a combination of, like I said, like early 2000s pop punk, but then like songs that like my 8-year-old likes that I'm like, okay, this isn't bad, I can jam to this. So, you know, we
Baby
got
Shark.
God, no, luckily we are not there. We are out of that one. No, she's like way more hip with her musical taste than I am. It's hilarious. She'll be like, can I turn this song on? And I'm like, fuck, that's good. Like, where did you hear that? Yeah, so I music is, it's really all over the place for me. It just depends on, but I mean, music is, I love music. Like I have to have it on like all the time, either that. I don't know. It's really hard for me to like narrow down like my playlist. I finally made like a Spotify playlist of like, to send to people when they're like, what kind of music do you like? And I'm like, these are like all the songs, like these are like up top of my head, like songs that I will always jam out to if they come on. And it's right. Like, it's really all it's, there's no rhyme or reason for it. So, yeah, I just, you know, I can appreciate all music. So.
I'm definitely a fan of a lot of different types too, but I mainly, as I got into like high school and stuff, like it got progressively heavier. You know, and I'm actually a musician too. My father is actually a singer as well. He was our singer in our church choir growing up, and my sister and I were both in youth choir. So, and then of course me being, you know, the punk I was when I was a kid, like to rebel a little bit. My mother was like, oh, I don't want you listening to Korn. That's the devil's music. But like, I'm going to crank that shit up then. Like, you know,
exactly.
Oh, don't, I definitely broke my mother's heart a little bit when I got my first tattoo, but I mean, you know, it is what my mother loves me though. She's proud of me now, but
yeah, luckily my mom got her first tattoo before me. So there was no problems there, but
I went from listening to like fucking I hate to admit this on my own podcast, but I don't care, I used to listen to like boy bands back in the day. I used to know
who cares?
I'll still fucking rock it to this day. Dude. if I'm in the right mood, you know what I mean?
If I'm on a date and I bring up the Backstreet Boys and the dude's like, oh, this is the Backstreet Boys, I'm like,
I would be right there singing along with you.
Thank you. God.
But I used
Roman
to
love Backstreet Boys, okay?
I used to, in middle school, I used to know the choreography to Bye 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 because I thought that's how you got girls. And man, was
wasn't
I wrong.
No.
I was the butt end of every joke. I was bullied, picked on, called gay very much. You know, like, it was brutal.
Yeah,
it was total...
you can groove, like,
yeah, right. Like, but I found
there's
out I like
wrong if you were gay, but right. Like that's a very you know, right. Not clever cliche.
I mean,
to use.
I'm perfectly comfortable with my sexuality. I'm not gay in any way, but you know, I. You know, whatever, you know what I mean? And I found out back then that I just loved to entertain and I didn't care who the hell thought any different. That's why I became a singer and I was in a band for a number of years. So but
awesome. fuck it. I was like obsessed with Backstreet Boys. Like it just was like when I was in like probably, I think it was like 8th grade, maybe. Excuse me. I had 7 Backstreet Boys t-shirts and that's what I rotated every day. I had my 7 Backstreet Boys t-shirts. That's all I wore. I had my walls covered, like walls, ceiling covered in posters. Like it was all about Backstreet Boys. I have,
I didn't
have the whole story about that, but yeah.
Oh no, go for it. Go for it. I'd love to hear it.
Okay. So, I actually just say, hey, so it's okay. So, so I loved the Backstreet Boys. Okay. And I just made a TikTok about this, which is that's why it's like fresh on my mind. So in like 2001, my favorite Backstreet Boy, who was Brian Littrell, he and his wife, Leanne, made, they started a production company, and it was called Bri Lee Productions. And I saw it on TV and I was like, I love that name, Bri Lee. I love that name. And that is going to be what I name my first daughter. And so 4 years later, I had a baby girl and I named her Bri Lee. And I never really told, because it's not like I was like, oh, I want a Backstreet Boys themed name. It was just, I really liked that name, Bri Lee.
Right.
And so, anyways, so named her Bri Lee. As Bri Lee has been getting older, they're figuring out who they are and, you know, and all that stuff. And so, they recently, chose to start going by they, them pronouns and, came out as non-binary and had decided that they wanted to start going by the name Lee. And it was like, I fully support everything that my kids want to do and every decision, but Bri Lee was like so significant of a name for me that it was like, it was really hard to get that idea, you know, and I'm like, can I still call you Bri Lee? Like, and you know, and kind of thing. And they were like, they super understood. They're super respectful of it.
Right.
But recently an article came out saying like the headline was like one of the Backstreet Boys is like a QAnon Trump supporter And I was like, I feel like I know who it is. And I read the article and it's like Brian Luttrell and his wife Leanne. And I was like, well, don't like that name anymore. And so I sent it to my kiddo and I was like, all right, I could start calling you Lee now. I was like, the name lost its oomph. So,
oh man. Well, I'm glad we're on the same side of the spectrum here when it comes to, you know, who we can get behind politically. I mean, I'm not a registered Republican or Democrat. I definitely hate both sides, but I'm a lot happier Biden's in office right now.
Trust me, I did my research on all the people that commented on that post and they're like, I'd love to have you on the show. And I'm like, I am digging in, and some of them, it's like, you know, Trump, and I'm like not even responding to your request to be on your show. Yeah. I did my research. I make sure that I don't want to fight on a podcast. So
right, you're definitely like you're definitely one of the first guests in that group, because I'm fairly new to that Facebook group. Mm-hmm. That I saw your post and I was like, oh my god, like this hits like everything I try to talk about on my show, and then whatever else. And I'm like, let me reach out and see if she would be interested. And you know, I'm really glad it worked out.
Yeah, I mean, like I'm planning on, eventually, when things calm down a little bit, I'm starting my own podcast that kind of is more of this kind of talk. But, you know, right now, as you know, like the podcast I do have is true crime. So but I'm very passionate about talking about, you know, my mental health, my sobriety, my addiction and all that stuff. And so I don't necessarily have the opportunity on a weekly basis to discuss that. So that's why I put out that, like, if anyone wants to talk, I have a lot to say. So
Well, if you ever need any help, you let me know. I've got a background in graphic design. I'm also a video editor, and you know, everything that I do for my podcast is all done by me. I wish I had the money to hire an assistant.
hire and then fire.
No. Unless you're fucking up, then you're fired. But no, I really need help right now. But like, anyway, I have way too many hobbies. So
I somehow do all of a sudden too. Like I went from doing nothing to like every day I'm like, oh my God, I have like so much to do, but it's all, I mean, I'm enjoying it. It's also I'm bringing on myself. So,
there you go.
But yeah, you know, yeah. Eventually I intend, it's something I've wanted to do for a really long time. And then now that I'm doing this other podcast, I finally got thrown into the podcasting world. And so now I feel like I'm able to take that and do my own thing eventually. So,
hey everyone, AJ here. Are you struggling to quit smoking cigarettes? Do you struggle with pain or anxiety? Do you live in the Connecticut area? Then you need to stop by the Vapor Edge today. The Vapor Edge is Connecticut's premier vape and CBD shop. They specialize in the latest vape devices, premium vape and salt juice, as well as the top of the line CBD products from Green Roads, CBDMD, Gold Standard, Vermont Hemp Health, and more. Plus, new customers who visit the Vapor Edge and mention that you heard about them from this podcast can get 20% off their first order. That's right. By using the code ROADS at checkout, you will save 20% off, and that applies to new customers only.
So if you're thinking about quitting smoking or interested in trying out CBD products, then you need to stop by the Vapor Edge and speak to one of their knowledgeable staff members today. And remember to use the code ROADS at checkout. The Vapor Edge has three locations located in Meriden, Prospect, and Naugatuck, Connecticut. Visit them today or visit them online at thevaporedge.net.
Killing Doomsday, the debut single from Epsilon. Epsilon is a band featuring former members of In the Red, Gemini Syndrome, and Nuance. Killing Doomsday by Epsilon is available on digital now, wherever you get your music from. Be sure to download it today and follow them on all social media platforms.
We'll see.
So, before we dip too hard into that podcast, let's talk a little bit more about your mental health.
Yeah.
You know, you were talking about on your post that you've been sober for 5 years now, was it?
Yeah, 5 years on January 25th.
I will make sure to insert thunderous applause in the clip here. But congratulations on that. I'm not sober myself, but I definitely had a problem for a little while with alcohol where it got to the point where I was like, okay, I got to either stop or chill out for a while. And especially with the weight too, I was putting on a lot of weight and I was like, okay, now I definitely have to cut most of my drinking out because it's just not helping me lose weight. So, but anyway, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Oh no, I'm somehow the only person in the world who got sober and did not lose weight from it. So I'm a little bitter about that, but
girl, you're fabulous.
That's
stop.
Okay. Oh, thanks. Yeah. I also was like the fattest cokehead I knew. So, you know, I guess just the weight loss part of all of that doesn't really come easily for me, but that's okay.
So what was going on like with your mental health that led to your addiction and then eventually getting sober?
Well, I have, like I said, my mom has always struggled with mental health and addiction and alcoholism and all that. So, I mean, it was all pretty much ingrained in me. I first kind of acknowledged my mental health and like started trying to like figure it out in my, I want to say junior or senior year of high school, junior year. And I went to a psychiatrist for the first time. And this was in like, 2002, 2003. And so at the time it was like, everyone like bipolar, like, oh, you're bipolar. Like that was just kind of like the blanket diagnosis a lot of people were getting. So I got diagnosed as bipolar 2 and started on medication.
Are you taking lithium? Because I have a friend that's on that. He's got bipolar 2 as well.
At the time I was taking Lamictal.
Okay.
I think that was what it was. I don't know. That was like a million years ago? We were 16, 18 years ago.
Oh,
that
yes.
I hate that fact. Anyways, so sorry, I was talking to someone else the other day and I was like, I was 16, so that was 18 years ago.
Yeah, my high school reunion wasn't that long ago either when I was still making music, and we had a show that night and I was like, fuck my reunion, I'm playing a show. So
yeah, I'm just like, we're all on Facebook, like we know what we're all doing, like, right. There's no need for this. Anyways, so I started on medication, and all growing up, I was very adamant, like, I am not going to be like my mom. And I mean, I'm not going to be like my mom. I'm not going to drink. I saw what, you know, alcohol and drugs did to her as a person, her as a parent, my family, like, and I just was like, I'm never going to drink or use. And that lasted until I was 16, when all my friends started drinking on the weekends, and Brittany did not want to miss out on what all my friends were doing. So, so I remember like my first drink was at this like random hotel party with a friend of mine and then random people that I didn't know. My first drink was handed to me by a guy I didn't know in a plastic cup, you know, like, I mean, it was just like your cliche, like teenage drink experience.
Right.
And so I started drinking, and from there, it's just, you know, every weekend, like we had, you know, my group of friends had a some older friends who had a house. And so that's just every weekend we would coordinate, okay, where are we saying we're sleeping this weekend? And we would, oh, okay, we're all sleeping at this person's house, this person's house. And we'd drink every weekend. And I mean, it was, I haven't told like my whole, I used to talk in AA meetings often about my story, but I don't go to AA anymore. So I haven't like told my story in a long time, but, you know, and so the drinking just was, it was progressive and it was just kind of like a teen, you know, to me, it was just, oh, it's just teenage drinking. It's whatever. And, I got married and had my first baby when I was 18, or I got married 18, baby at 19. And then it just was, for me, I never considered it alcoholism because it wasn't like, it wasn't all the time, you know. To me, being an alcoholic meant you woke up at 6 a.m., started drinking out of a plastic bottle of vodka until you went to bed. You know, like that's in my head. I wasn't doing that, so I'm not an alcoholic. And, you know, but the drinking just, it progressed and it progressed. And through that time, my mental health was just all over the place. I mean, I would take medication and then feel like I was doing okay. So I stopped taking my medication and, you know, I mean, it just was a clusterfuck.
Right.
So, I'm trying to think, when I was like 27 or 28, like I had always been like, okay, I'm drinking. I know I'm drinking a lot, but, I will not do hard drugs. Like that's, I'm not doing drugs at least, you know, until I was like 27 or 28 and I decided to try cocaine and that was a good idea. So did that. And I was obviously like immediately hooked. And it just went downhill like real quick from there. So I spent, you know, the next couple of years just, I mean, I was a real piece of shit. Like I just was a really awful human. I was an awful mom, an awful partner, everything. And it was just consumed, you know, my life. And you know, throughout that time, I was still struggling with my depression and is this bipolar? At one point, like a psychiatrist on a first appointment told me that I was borderline personality disorder, which is like a really extreme diagnosis to give and you don't give it on a first appointment.
Right.
And I was also a cokehead at the time. And so, but I took that diagnosis. I don't know if you're familiar at all with that diagnosis, but
I understand it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, with borderline, it is like, it's not a chemical, you know, bipolar, it's okay, there's a chemical imbalance and you can take medication and balance it out. Borderline is like trauma induced and you can control the symptoms of it, but you can't necessarily like, which was perfect for me because it was my excuse for being an asshole. It was my excuse for being a piece of shit. You know,
like, I mean, like you see that kind of behavior and like, I'm not comparing it to any of the, psychopaths like serial killers or anything that, but that definitely comes up in a lot of most cases, the personality disorder and schizophrenia, you know, stuff like that, like you hear about it all the time and that kind of stuff.
And so for me it was a perfect diagnosis to have because I had an excuse. I didn't have to take ownership of what I was doing and who I was being. I'm an alcoholic and I have borderline personality disorder, so I can't help it, you know. And to me that was like it was just so easy to blame everything that I was doing on something else. And so I mean I was just a complete piece of shit asshole in every sense of the word. I mean, I was a liar. I was a cheater. I was a jealous shit talking, you know, thief. And I mean, everything about me was just not fun. And I had a part in, you know, and it was really hard for me too, because I still had that idea in my head of like, you know, everything I said I wasn't going to be as far as like my mom with, you know, her addictions and stuff, I was being. And so I never had my kids taken from me, but I took myself away from the kids. In my head, it was better for them to not have me around than have this piece of shit mother around. And so they had a dad that was taking care of them, and I just would keep myself away from them as much as I could. and it got to a point where I had gone to like a, I had like a part-time, like I had gotten like a seasonal job at like Costco or something. And I went to like the holiday party in 2015. And my Coke dealer's son worked with us. And so, you know, after the Costco party, we all went back to the place I was staying. And I don't know what it would have been like to OD, but I'm pretty sure I got like as close as you can without ODing. And so I woke up the next day and I was just like, what the fuck am I doing? And I was like, oh my God, okay, I need to take a break. And in my head, I was like, I'm gonna take a break for 30 days and then I can come back and drink like a normal person, because I did not know yet that that's not a thing Brittany will ever be able to do. I will never be able to drink like a normal person, but I thought that I could take a break and do that. So that lasted about, I don't know, I think I got to like maybe like 17 days. And I was like, I've done so good. I said I wasn't going to drink, but I never said anything about not doing Coke. So I was at a party and I was like, oh, cool, I'm going to go out to the car with these friends and do a line. And because I'm an addict, that turned into a week-long bender and, you know, ended with me just in a, I almost, you know, ran my car off of like the side of a cliff. Like I was just in a situation with people that didn't give a fuck about me, that really, you know, awful things could have happened. And I finally woke up one day and it was like a week later and I was just like, okay, maybe I should try to take a break again. And like, so that was like on a Monday. And then like on Tuesday, it was like, maybe I should like do more than just like a break. And then on Wednesday, I went to my first AA meeting. And that was, that Monday was January 25th, 2016. And I went to my first AA meeting on Wednesday. And that was just when everything started changing for me. And, you know, I got sober through AA. I don't go to AA anymore for just personal reasons. But that's like kind of just the like very brushed on the top of that whole journey for me. Plenty of specific stories I could tell, but that'll be at for a later date. It was a long time coming, and I was lucky that I got sober when I was 29, so it didn't get too far. It caused a lot of damage over that time that has, you know, taken time to repair. And
I can imagine. I mean, like, did you have a sponsor throughout the whole time you were in AA?
It was kind of funny. When I first went to my first meeting, it was my second meeting. Wound up being at the place that became like my home group that I would go to like 3-4 times a week. And I had a couple years before that, I had done Weight Watchers. And Weight Watcher meetings are like, it's like the AA of weight loss. And so, you know, you'd go to a meeting once a week. And, but the meeting leader for my Weight Watchers meetings was this woman named Christy. And I loved her so much. She was a spaz and she was so passionate and she had done so well. And she and I had totally connected. And I had always thought about Christy for like years afterwards. Never really talked to, she had left Weight Watchers, so I just never saw her, talked to her. And about a week into week or two going into meetings at this meeting location, I was like sitting kind of in the back of the meeting, and woman got up to go talk, and I was like, oh my God, it's Christy. Like, and so I was like, oh fuck, oh my God, Christy's here in my AA meeting, you know? And so I had, you know, connected with her and had asked her to be my sponsor. And, you know, we started working the steps and stuff. And, you know, with AA, like finding a sponsor, it's like finding a therapist. You want to find them. Oh my God, my dog is so cute.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's all good. My cat was pawing at me for a few minutes. That's why I was like over here, like,
yeah. you know, it's like finding a therapist. Like, you know, it's not a one size fits all. So, you know, I had, I had worked with Christy for a little bit, and then I met this woman named Kim, and I just, Kim and I love Christy to death. Kim and I clicked though on the more sponsee relationship. So I worked with her through all the steps, and you know, I had her, I worked the steps. We still keep in touch.
I was going to say, do you guys still keep in touch, or?
We talk to each other every now and then. I've a few times reached out and, you know, asked her to be my sponsor again and start working through the steps. But I lost kind of my oomph for AA, when I moved to Portland, just, for, you know, my own personal reasons. And, I got sober through AA, and I will never forget that. And I still live by the principles that I learned in AA. A lot of the tools that I use just mentally on a daily basis are stuff I learned in AA. I personally don't go to the meetings anymore. There's nothing wrong with AA. It got me sober. It keeps me sober. I just don't personally go to meetings anymore.
I mean, that's fine. I mean, like, it clearly worked. You know what I mean? You're 5 years sober now. So
yeah. And I mean, I don't even know that person. Like, I mean, I look at my life now and I don't even understand how I lived that life that I did. I mean, like, every waking moment right now is like, it's for my kids, and I am like their, you know, main provider. And right. I don't know how I went through so much time not giving that to them, you know? And, so yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I am a completely different person in almost every aspect from when I was using. And it's crazy. Yeah. I'm so grateful.
Coming from an outside perspective, since, you know, this is actually the first time we're actually talking.
Yeah.
On social media, like, I'm proud of you. That's awesome. You know what I mean? Like, I struggle with, I don't think I'm addicted, but there were definitely times where I felt like I was, and mm-hmm. I know it runs on my dad's side of the family. That my dad never touched. Well, I can't say that. He tried alcohol once in his life just mm-hmm. to see what it was like, and why, every time his dad got his paycheck from, the VA, or, you know, for his veterans check or whatever, it goes straight to booze. His story was kind of funny though. Just real quick, my dad drank a whole bottle of vodka just to see what it was like, and he ended up pissing all over my uncle's back seat of his car.
Oh, no. That sounds about right. Vodka was my favorite alcohol.
He told me that story. I had to laugh at it, but he was like, yeah, after that, and I never touched it again. I hated it. Yeah. So like, I had to respect him for that. But I mean, like, for me, coming from a family that, you know, I guess addiction kind of runs through.
Yeah.
There were times where I did question it sometimes, because especially dealing with my depression, mm-hmm. I went through a really bad breakup a few years back. You know, on top of everything that happened between me and my father, my siblings and I were fighting, like severely fighting, not talking to each other. And a lot of stuff was going on at work. And my mental health was down the drain, and I didn't even realize it. And I was drinking every day. Not to the point where I was getting blackout drunk, but it was just like every day. Like, it would be two drinks today, three drinks tomorrow. Mainly like the higher volume alcohol stuff.
Oh yeah.
You know, and then I started smoking weed too, but that's for a whole other reason, because I have a lot of, I actually have glaucoma.
Okay.
And I had spinal surgery 7 years ago. So it kind of helps with the pain.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So I don't smoke every day, cause I honestly don't enjoy it, but I mean, you know, I definitely like CBD more than that, but anyway.
THC and I are not friends in any way, shape or form. So yeah. I get you.
My anxiety gets kind of like, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of benefits to it, and I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to tell anybody that weed is bad for you, because it's not.
Not at all. I wouldn't, like, for me, I tried smoking weed for my anxiety, and I wasn't going to count that against my sobriety, because I wasn't abusing it. I was attempting to use it, you know, use it as a medicinal, and it didn't work for me. And so I stopped, you know, like, just, I don't, there's nothing wrong with it. If it helps so many people. Like, it just,
yeah,
for me, it does not equal a good time. So
you ever try CBD?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. CBD is a fucking godsend. Oh my God. Yeah. I was actually laughing because I was watching Chappelle's show for the first time in years. And now I don't have to feel guilty about watching it because he finally got his back pay from Comedy Central for it.
Right.
good on him. But, there was that O'Dweed's thing that popped up, that fake weed or whatever. And it was like, it's all the benefits of weed, but it's not weed. And I'm like, wow, he basically was talking CBD before CBD was legit. Yep. I was like, that blew my mind. I was like, holy shit, this show came out fucking what, like almost 20 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, anyway, going back to what I was saying. It got to a point where, for me mentally, you know, with the breakup, the family issues, the jobs and everything, my depression was spiraling down the drain. Just spiraling down the drain and out of control. And to the point where I was, I guess preparing to kill myself and didn't realize it.
Yep.
And it was, when I woke up and realized what I was doing, I immediately picked up the phone. I was searching for a therapist and everything like that. But I gave, my apartment key to, my friends, Scotty and Jeannie from, Crossing Rubicon. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but it's Jeannie Sagan, formerly of All That Remains. It's her and her husband's band.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm friends with them. Awesome. But they have a key to my place, and I gave it to her husband Scott, who's like one of my best friends, and he's like, "You're all right?" And I'm like, "Yeah, why?" He's like, "You seem kind of off, dude." And I'm like, "No, I promise I'm fine. Everything's cool." And I was like, I put emergency contacts on my fridge. I was writing up a will on my computer, you know, just because I had that mentality. It was like, I can't trust anybody right now because everything's so fucked up in my life right now that, like, what if something, God forbid, ever happened to me? Let me make the preparations. And then when I finally snapped out of it, I was like, I feel like if coming from an outside perspective, this looks like I'm about ready to commit suicide.
Oh, yeah.
So, and that's when I got on the horn and tried to find a therapist, and I found a really good one. She ended up leaving the practice, but I was in there for a year, like twice a week, and just letting it all out. And like, I finally got a better handle on, you know, my drinking because of it. Mm-hmm. I was getting back into shape again, and I was just starting to feel good. I fell in love with hiking. Like, I'm so mad it's winter right now because I want to be out hiking again. Just all that was just helping me so much mentally more. And then that's how this podcast started, because I was trying to make music again.
Right.
And then the pandemic hit. So then I was like, well, what am I going to do?
Fucked,
like,
everything up.
Yeah. So that's another thing that helps with my depression. If I'm not doing anything creatively, I get the most depressed.
Yeah.
So
no,
I definitely feel you, like, you know.
Yeah. Being self-aware is something that I mean, it's one of my biggest tools that helps me through every day. Is I'm like self-aware almost to a fault, you know, it's something that helps me get through every single day. I'm able to, you know, I mean, even something as much as like, I take medication right now for, I take citalopram, Wellbutrin for my anxiety and depression, and then Adderall for my ADHD. And, you know, I know that if I accidentally forget to take it's mostly my citalopram, but if I forget to take my medication one day, I now know that, okay, I forgot to, you know, end of the night, I'm like, fuck, I forgot to take it. Or next day, I'm like, fuck, I didn't take it yesterday.
Right.
I know that not the exact next day after I miss it, but the following day is going to be an awful, awful, shitty day. I know that now. And it doesn't stop it, because I can't stop my brain from doing the things that it does. So it doesn't make me not have that shitty day, but at least I am preparing myself for it. And when I'm in the middle of that shitty day, sometimes I still can't even like pull myself out of it. But for the most part, I can be like, okay, this isn't really how you're feeling. This is just because you forgot your medication. Okay. Right. You just have to get through today, and then tomorrow is going to feel better. You know, like just that, you know, awareness that everything is temporary, and that includes especially the shitty things and the shitty feelings. And instead of just completely shutting down, you know, don't get me wrong, some days I still do shut down. And I talk very openly with my kids about mental health and, you know, my addiction and my recovery and everything, because I know that there's a really solid, like I said, they're 8 and 15, and, you know, my 8-year-old, we finally just got her diagnosed with ADHD, and, you know, she just started taking Adderall as well. I didn't want to just start like popping her with pills. So we put it off right. for a really long time until it started like affecting school. And finally we're like, okay, it's time to address it. You know, and my older kiddo is, you know, suffers with depression and anxiety. So it's definitely, I knew from the beginning, it's very real chance that they're going to be struggling right. with these same things. So I'm very open with them. And if I'm having a day where I'm just not quite on my game, I'm able to say to them, hey, you know, my brain is being a little weird today. Like, so if, you know, and I'll tell them if I snap, if I'm cranky, like I you know, I apologize ahead of time. This is why I'm going to really work to not, you know, let those things happen. So, yeah, being self-aware is just something that I'm very grateful for. It took time, you know, I mean, that again goes with not letting, you know, not making excuses from outside, you know, oh, well, I'm right. like this because of this, but I don't know, just being aware of it and trying to work with it. And, you know, and I empathize with I was suicidal several times, you know, I mean, starting in, sorry, I'm like burping like a real That's lady. I'm just so classy. not at all. Starting in high school, I was suicidal and I would, you know, self-harm and, you know, and throughout my, you know, addiction and alcoholism, especially at the end, you know, I mean, it was just, to me, it was, everyone would, I mean, it was just the, you know, I think it would be less stress for everyone for me to just like not be here right. than to be here and have to deal with me. You know, I was convinced that my kids were better off with no mom than with the mom that they had.
I'm glad you snapped out of that though, because that's no way to think. Because my dad was almost the same way. I feel like he still kind of is in a way, because he thinks that, you know, everyone would be better off without him. And just super self-deprecating and isolated. And we're like, no, like.
Yeah. And it's, it's such a, unfortunately, such a common thought with people mm-hmm. who are, you know, can be depressed and suicidal. And
right.
It was, you know, no amount of people assuring me like that's not true at times would, you know, I mean, throughout the last couple years of my addiction, like literally, like the only thing that kept me from not killing myself was imagining my, at the time, 2-year-old, you know, asking where I was. Like that right. was, I would picture that so vividly. And that was the only thing that, you know, I'm so grateful, because now even, you know, I still at times get those thoughts of like, what, you know, things aren't going, what's even the point of everything? Same you know, way. Like, what am yeah. I even doing? And I just think about like, you know, my kids or my mom, or, I mean, it is just, you know, a thing in AA that we learned is playing the tape, and you have to play out the tape. And basically what that term, I explained it to someone recently, but it's like, okay, you put the tape in. So you take whatever situation you're in. Like, so obviously a very common one in AA was, okay, you want to take a drink, you have to play out the tape. So putting the tape in is taking that drink. And then you have to think of what is going to come after that. Okay,
right.
I'm going to have this one drink, and then I'm going to have 8 more drinks, and then I'm going to seek out cocaine, and then I'm going to do some coke, and then I'm going to probably make some mistakes. And then I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to be coming down. I'm going to be depressed. I'm going to be hungover. I'm going to be fucking angry at myself and ashamed. And I'm either going to isolate and just keep doing that until I die, or probably kill myself because of the shame. And so you play out that tape and you're like, okay, I'm not even going to put the tape in. Like, it's just, I don't even want to have that happen.
Right.
And I use that now with, I mean, so many things, you know, even.
It's a great analogy.
Yeah, I mean, it is, like I said, I've learned so much in AA that to this day I use almost on a daily. I mean, and you can apply it to anything. I mean, mm-hmm. for me, like, I struggle with my weight, and, you know, and if there's times where I'm trying to cut, you know, I'm trying to just get back to a healthier weight, I could even play out that tape with like, fuck, I really want ice cream right now, mm-hmm. you know, and I'll play out that tape. Okay, I'm going to have ice cream, and then I'm going to feel like shit, and I'm going to keep eating, and then I'm going to, you know, and you know, it's, I mean, it works with everything.
I've been doing intermittent fasting. Seems to be helping. So
I started keto a couple times, and
I got a bread recipe if you need it.
Yes, yeah. Please.
Low carb, no carb recipe.
Yeah. I did keto a couple times, and I was really having a lot of success. And as I said before, it was my ex, but he's still a friend of mine, but he had to have two surgeries last year, and we had to go to California for them. And for some reason, both times I had started keto like a couple weeks before that, and it would go great. And then I'd go to California and be like, I'm totally going to like stick with keto. And I'm like, no, bitch, you ain't. Like, you're not going to do that. That's not a thing. you know, so I would lose like 10 pounds and gain it all back. So
yeah.
I just started again like a month ago, and it's going really well, especially being home all the time. It makes it a lot easier, but, but yeah, I mean, that playing out the tape is one of like the most useful tools I've ever learned. And it just helps with everything. It helps with everything. So
I'm going to try that.
Yeah, it really is very helpful. But that is, you know, even still when I'm having really, really awful days, you know, I also finally started, cause I notice it's like usually like once a month, and it's not around the time of my period, but my moods get really, really bad. Cause I tell people, and they're like, oh, you're probably PMSing. And I'm like, yeah, you can go fuck off. Yeah. Just my mental health just for some reason has a point every month that it just gets real bad. So I started tracking what those days are. So if I'm feeling like I hate everything, everything is awful, I'm able to look at those notes and be like, oh, okay, that's why, like, just go to sleep, Brittany. Just you'll wake up and feel better, you know? Right. So
yeah, I'm the same way too. I don't want to say it was funny, but like I had like a really good month, and then like for like 3 days straight, I'm like, why do I feel like crap? Like, what is going on? I'm super stuck in my head. It also doesn't help that my night job, my main source of income, is just myself and my supervisor, and he's on one end of the shop, I'm on the other. So I'm either listening to music or podcasts, and I'm zoning out, and I'm just stuck in my head the whole time.
Oh yeah.
Also doesn't help that I live alone. You know what I mean? So, you know, like I'm always isolated. So it's not good for my mental health, but, you know, I definitely hear you on that. And, where was I going with this? Now I'm losing my train of thought. God damn it.
Lay out the tape. No, I'm kidding. apply, but it was.
I think the tape got jammed. I need to find a pencil and rewind it. for those of you that don't know what we're talking about, we are 34 years old here.
20 year olds, like, what do they talk?
What is a tape?
that reminds me. I unpacked my VCR recently, and so excited because I didn't know what happened to it. And I found it. Anyways,
you remember back in the day where you'd run a video from Blockbuster, and if you didn't return it rewound, like you'd get
kind
like a,
rewind, you'd get like a fee for not rewind.
Yeah, exactly. Like they track that shit, you know what I mean? Like
get a hobby.
And you remember those like rewind machines that you just stick it in there because you didn't want to fucking hit the button?
I think my dad had one.
We had one too.
Super fancy.
You know, first world here, you know what I mean? Like anyway. But no, I think your story is like super inspiring, and I'm you know, just getting to know you and everything like that. I'm definitely gonna apply some of those things myself, but
yeah,
you're like a very strong individual, and I you know, glad you're still here so we could talk about it, you know.
Thanks.
So.
I'm glad too, so
yeah. High five. Digital high Thanks. Five. Yes. I'll insert a clap noise right there.
Right. Yeah. Make it official.
But let's dive into your podcast. You know, when you said that you were a co-host of a true crime podcast, I was like, oh fuck yes. Like, this is like, besides my like love of pop culture and being a geek, I am obsessed with true crime, and it rubbed off from my ex-fiance from years ago, from watching like Forensic Files.
Oh, yeah.
To like all that stuff, like and she would watch like classic like CSI and stuff like that. So I'm like, oh, I'm not gonna get into the stuff. And then I'm sitting there like, whoa, like this is so
hard not to.
I know. And then like stumbling on last podcast on the left, which is my absolute favorite, like next year's of course now. True crime podcast. You gotta have some dark humor to kind of counterbalance the insanity and the just of everything that's happened in these cases, which I can appreciate, because there are times where I don't want to hear about a mutilated corpse and, you know, this, that, and the other. And then somebody crack a joke like, well, I guess, you know, somebody must have been hungry, or like somebody missed lunch today or something, like just to make light of it, of how fucked up it is.
You have to.
Yeah. But I, you know, I definitely checked out your podcast, Nightcap, a true crime podcast. Everyone should definitely check it out. I will leave the links below. But how did that happen? How did you get involved in that?
So it's super new. We just recorded our fourth episode last night. It was, oh my God. I thought that my story last week was
with
rough.
Kevin R. Bacon.
Kevin Bacon. He,
not the actor for everybody that's listening.
I know. Yeah. Kevin Bacon. That story was, as I had said in the episode, my ex is from Detroit. And so, he was kind of getting, updates on it, like, right, you know, as it was happening. And it was just such a horrific story. And, I've been obsessed. I mean, like, I'm pretty sure like every white girl in the world. I mean, I've been obsessed with true crime for as long as I can remember. My mom was, you know, my mom loved it, and I, you know, I kind of picked that up from her, and I just was fascinated by it. And
my ex-fiance used to tell me all the time, she would be like, you know, nobody will ever find your body. Like,
And
I'm like, that's not creepy at all. Like, thanks.
My 15-year-old was like, yeah, this TikToker said the perfect way to hide a body. And I was like, cool, babe. What is it like? I was just like, what the fuck are these people doing on TikTok? But
I want to get advice from someone on TikTok, but anyway.
Yeah it was pretty clever though, so. I'm gonna keep that tucked away. No, I'm kidding.
We can talk off air about it.
Don't, you're not recording this, right?
Go ahead. Anyway.
I've been obsessed with true crime, and ever since starting to listen to podcasts, obviously, like, my first podcast I really got into was My Favorite Murder, and then that has branched, you know, there are a few others. Red Handed is one that is my one of my other favorites, and I was like, fuck, I want to do a podcast, you know, and I didn't even know where to start with it, so never really did it. But I mean, I've always kind of been very, I'm obviously, I talk a lot, and I'm very honest and open about a lot of things. And I have used, you know, social media as a platform to be very open with my sobriety and mental health and stuff, just because I'm animated in how I tell things, and people.
All great features to have as a podcast host.
Yeah. I mean, people have, you know, people are, friends of mine are always like, you need to start a blog, you need to start a YouTube, like all this stuff. And I was like, I don't even know what to do with it. So I like literally like a month ago, like I have known my co-hosts for 3 weeks now, and it's crazy.
How did you guys meet?
So a friend of mine who's actually from San Jose, she lives in Spokane now, and her friend Gavin had put up a post on Facebook saying, you know, Susie and I are going to start a true crime podcast, but we need a third co-host. Like, let me know if you're interested. My friend Brianne, she tagged me, and she's like, Brittany, this would be perfect for you. And so she set up a group text with me, her, and Gavin. And she's like, even if this doesn't work out, like, you and Gavin are going to just like be the best of friends. And
he's pretty funny. I loved his British accent. It was so funny.
Yes, that was. Gavin, like, no,
he reminds me of another British man named Gavin who I respect very much from the company Rooster Teeth. A legit British man from, you know, England.
Yeah, no, his fucking accent, his dad jokes. We call him his dog dad jokes. And I started chatting, and we totally just like connected immediately. And you know, he's like, well, let's set up a FaceTime. You know, Susie's going to be in the studio because they're both in Spokane and I'm in Portland. So it's like five hour drive or so. But he's like, we're going to be in the studio. Let's do a FaceTime and just kind of see how this works. And we FaceTime. And I mean, the three of us just got hooked on each other like immediately.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I was telling my mom recently, she's like, I'm just really surprised because you don't usually get along with women. And I was like, yeah, I know. Susie's just, it's not that I don't get along with them. I'm just like not usually on, I'm usually not on the same level as a lot of women.
Right.
That sounded like I'm not like other girls, but I just, well, no, you're, just, yeah. I'm just really awkward. And I, you know, originally the plan was, they had a few people that they had chatted with and really liked. So the original plan was they were going to have, you know, host the podcast. And then they had about four others that were going to be rotating co-hosts. So I would be on once a month. And then the other three that they had really liked. So we did the first episode and it just was like fucking flawless. Like, I mean, just our, not like, obviously there were a few things we had to work on after that, but just our chemistry was just amazing. And their co-host for the second episode had to wasn't able to do it like last minute. So they're like, do you think you can put a story together in a couple of days and be on again? And I was like, yeah, of course. And so we did it. It was great. And then yeah, at the end of the episode, they were like, so we kind of just like want to have you like just be the third co-host with us. And I was like, fuck yes. Like, this was like, everyone I told that I was doing this, they were like, this doesn't surprise me. Like, this is right up your alley. So, So I just like, I got super into it. Like, I just was so excited. I'm a crafter on the side. So I'm like, look at this mug I made, look at this glass I made with our logo and all this. And I was just fucking stoked on it. And so, yeah, like I said, we just did our fourth episode last night. We've done like two, we have a Patreon. So we have bonus episodes that we're recording called Pillow Talk that are kind of just clusterfucks. And that's, you know, it's great. You know, we try to have some structure to our episodes, but our bonus ones are kind of just us having fun. Still talking about crime stuff, but very, very casually. Right. Yeah. And so, I mean, it's just been, it's been so much fun. The episode last night though, we had a guest co-host, Scotty, and it was a rough one. We had to take several breaks. Oh, we were all crying. It was a really tough episode to record, but it feels like we've been doing this forever. Like, it's just so much fun. And we have Gav told us our stats. Like, I think we've had almost like over 2,000 downloads already.
Wow.
And yeah, I mean, it's been 3 weeks since we recorded our first episode. So we've only been out for 2.5 weeks, and it's crazy. So it's just been so much fun though.
That's awesome.
So much fun. Yeah.
Very cool.
I'm very grateful to have met those two. They're lovely.
I got started years ago in podcasting. I was on a bunch of different shows for a while. I was on an internet radio show. Shout out to my boys from Do It Up Productions, DIUTV. The Lurch and Dom live broadcast was the main thing. It was a comedy show, but we would mainly just fuck with Lurch a lot. Like, Lurch. And we would just fuck with him a lot. And from there it went, I was just into the music scene and everything. And I found my friends from the Metal Syndicate. They're not really much of a thing anymore, but they had like their own podcast network, a bunch of different shows and stuff like that. I was a guest on a few episodes of one of their shows. And then a bunch of my friends, like I said, from the music scene were like, you know, we all have these interests in like pop culture. Like, what if like four singers got together and started talking nerd stuff? And I was like, dude, I'm totally in. Like, let's fucking do it. And hence the League of Extraordinary Frontmen was born. And then it just eventually grew into like, we did it for like 2 years, but it was getting to the point where like everyone was getting busy and stuff like that. And we just didn't do it as much anymore. And then we rebooted it last December as kind of like a Merry Christmas to, you know, people. Yeah. This year sucked. Like here, have the league, you know what I mean? So it was nice to catch up with everybody. And plus my buddy, Agrippa, who did all the production stuff back in the day, he was just happy he didn't have to do it. So I was doing everything. So it was fun. Like, and
Merry
we did
Christmas
it
to me.
Right. And so, you know, we did a couple episodes. We're trying to figure out how to like get around everyone's schedule now, because like one of my friends from the show, he's now like a full-time like comic book illustrator for like a bunch of different companies.
That's awesome.
Scott is you know, bartending two jobs. Agrippa's like a super busy like tech guy, plus he's a homeowner now and everything. And me, I'm working two jobs, I'm producing two podcasts. Crazy nut job over here. And so it's
you
just
should see my to-do list every day.
I feel you. But yeah, like it definitely for me, from just being a performer in general to like switching to podcasts, I definitely like to entertain, but like trying to find my voice on radio more than being on stage, you know, going from like, get the fuck up, let's open this bit up, like, you know, oh, you know what I mean? Like, I don't see you moving over there. Come on, you know, to go into like super chill and everything. Like I, like you, I'm almost like an extroverted introvert as well too. Cause like it took me a while to break out of my shell and like, figure out my voice for radio. And I'm really happy I did. I have a lot of fun. I don't have fun editing. That's why I'm looking for
Gavin
help.
Gavin does
but
all the editing and we're so grateful, but he's
Gavin,
like,
I hear you,
lot.
Buddy. I hear you, buddy. Try doing video and audio. Yes.
Yeah. We were doing our audio on, we do our audio on CleanFeed, and we were Skyping and recording the video as well. And the plan was to, you know, release the videos, you know, kind of as a bonus thing.
Right.
But, I would be like, cool. I was like, Friday night, you know, Friday or Saturday, whatever night we record, that's going to be my makeup day. Cause I look homeless the rest of the time. I don't even try.
Would you stop? You look fabulous.
Thanks. Yeah. but I just don't get ready yet. Like I don't, you know, doll myself up anymore.
Right.
And so, last night we got on to record and, you know, and I'm like full face of makeup and I'm like, whatever, you know, and they said something about video. Oh, and Susie was like, you know, so he's like, well, Gavin told me that we weren't doing video. So I just like, didn't even like, you know, I didn't dress up at all. And Gavin's like, oh yeah, by the way, he's like, now that we're doing a lot more editing on the audio, it's going to be hard to match it up. And I'm like, I'm still getting ready. I still have to watch myself talk. So it's fine. But yeah, so we were going to try to do, you know, the video too. And we're still going to have some videos eventually, but not necessarily us talking. So yeah. That's fine. I'll still get ready for the podcast.
There you go. What you see is what you get for me. Like, you know, like I don't really do much. You know what I mean?
You don't do your makeup for your podcast?
No, I never wear makeup.
Oh, throw on some lashes.
I only one time did eyeliner, and that was to...
You're a musician. You had to.
Well, no. My buddy Scott does it for his band at Crossing Rubicon. He's the more eyeliner guy, but I dressed up as him for Halloween one year just to fuck with him. And I showed up to the bar and everything. Like I had my duster on, I had like
amazing
all my old stage gear on and stuff like that. I found like the tightest pair of pants I ever owned. And that was a lot.
Fantastic. And
yeah, I think it was pleather that I had. Yeah. So anyway, like I just walked out, I had the long blonde wig. I had my friend do my eyeliner because I had no fucking idea what I was doing. And I was just like, wow, this really sucks. So I walk into the bar, start doing like the, you know, the Scotty poses. He comes over, he loses his shit. He's laughing so hard. I'll have to show you a picture when we're off.
Yes,
so
that
fucking
is
funny.
Amazing.
But I have a lot of respect for women that wear makeup. I can't do it.
I used to, this is just a whole nother thing. I know we've been talking forever, but this is a whole nother thing. Like with my sobriety is, I mean, I was so I would not leave the house without makeup. I mean, half the time I didn't even, like, I didn't look good because I was all fucking, you know, on a bender. So I still didn't look good with the makeup, but I wouldn't leave without makeup or make sure this or that, right, or, you know, and all that. And it's alarming to see how I will let myself go out in public these days. I'm like, all right, Brittany, some days I got to just reel it in and be like, you got to do something, Brittany. You got to.
Well, I mean, look, coming from, you know, me, you know what I mean? Like, we're still in the middle of a pandemic, you yes, know what I mean? Like, yeah, the masks help, you know what yeah, I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
A pair of sunglasses. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I have prescription sunglasses that helps a little bit too, because I don't feel handsome half the time I go out the door anymore. But I mean, you know, it is what it is. You know, that's just me being me, laughing at myself sometimes.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I mean, same here. Like, you know, I mean, there were, you know, I'd sometimes be like, I'm gonna go to the grocery store today. I'm gonna do my makeup. Like, you just gotta do. Like, I feel like I did something. So it, you know. Right. My dog fall off of the bed.
That's so funny.
She's so stupid. I love her. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I call myself up for podcasting.
I remember one time I didn't have any masks yet. So I found like t-shirts, like old band t-shirts. I had a Disturbed shirt with the guy, their logo over my face, and I just tied it up. And I just went to the store like that. And I remember posting it on Facebook. This was like right at the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you know, getting ready to head out. I'm down with the sickness or whatever.
Oh,
and
my God.
Like, yeah. Like just for a Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And like, I got one bad, like everybody loved it. You know what I mean? But like, I had one bad comment where somebody was like, I think that's sending the wrong message. And I'm like,
y'all, can you, okay,
like whatever, dude, like, you know what the best thing about that was? When I went to the grocery store, everybody left me the hell alone. Like,
exactly.
everybody got out of my way. I got exactly what I needed and I left, you know. Yeah. What I mean,
yeah. No, I apparently I have that look always when I'm out in public. Like, I am like, if I'd be like in the mall and like one of those kiosks, like,
right,
they never, like, even before no one ever asked me. I guess I just have that look, like, don't fuck with me. Like, I could be in the best mood in the world, but apparently I look like I'm fucking pissed off.
Resting
all the time.
Bitch face.
Oh yeah. I have it real bad. So you
should see some band photos I used to take, because I, you know, yeah, super serious all the time. But then, you get to know me, yeah, right, and then you get to know me. You're like, AJ's like the nicest guy, like, ever. Like,
yeah.
Why do you look so crazy in your photos? It's a photo shoot. Like, yeah, I have to look. Yeah,
you have to play the part. It's part of that's, I, you know, like I said, my dad's a musician and he plays the part. You know, I mean, you got it. It's a whole thing. So I get it.
Well, let's wind this. I could talk to you for hours, Brittany. You're just so,
I have so much to say.
Yeah. We'll talk a little off air, but I could talk to you for hours. This was amazing. Like, I'm so glad I reached out and got you on the show. And
I'm glad too. I gotta have you
come back. But let's talk about some plugs here. Let's plug your show. Let's plug your Patreon, you know, all that stuff. Yeah. And then I'll do some plugs myself.
Sweet. Yeah. So it is Nightcap. It's NITE. Cap. Website is nightcaptruecrime.com, and we're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, etc. all the main, we're on platforms that we didn't realize we were on. Like, Gavin was just telling me last night, he's like, yeah, I don't know, I found some stats about this one. I'm like, oh, that's cool, I guess. So Nightcap True Crime, our fourth episode will be out on Monday. And we have a Patreon. It's,
by the time this episode airs, it's already going to be out. So just,
oh, that's right, this isn't coming out for a while.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. Heads up, I pre-record my podcast, everyone, because I'm such
episode,
a busy guy.
Let's see, episode 9 will be out on 9 or 10 will be out on Monday. There we go.
Just hit that follow button.
Yeah. Just, I don't know, some episode's going to be out. Yeah, we have our Patreon. Again, Nightcap True Crime, and we have just, you know, bonus episodes, early release, free merch, all that kind of good stuff. I am on Instagram. If anyone wants to follow me, it's Brittany Won't Shut Up.
That's,
it's
so funny.
Brittany Won't Shut Up. Spoiler alert, that is going to be the name of my podcast when I start that new one. So, I guess I'm pretty entertaining, apparently. I post stupid shit, so yeah.
very cool. Well, I say you are very entertaining.
Thanks.
So yeah, I'm gonna plug some stuff and then we'll talk off air and then just go from there. So I want to thank everybody for listening and watching. If you're watching on YouTube, hello. If you want to do me a favor and hit that subscribe button, hit that bell icon to get notified every time we drop a new video. If you're listening on any podcast platform, make sure to hit that follow button. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a 5-star review. If you leave a review as well, I will read it on the show. You can follow the show at facebook.com/roadsweavetraveledpodcast. Twitter and Instagram at RWTpod. We also have a Patreon at patreon.com/roadsweavetraveled. Become a member today. You can get exclusive content like episodes before they release. You can ask questions and I will answer them eventually. We got merch on TeePublic, link down below. Buy some stuff, help support the show. I'd appreciate it. You can also follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/JRBuckleGaming. I just played a game last night with some friends that's been helping during this pandemic, just being on Twitch and everything. But I just played this crazy ass game last night called Duck Game, and it's basically just this huge shooter game where you're just these cartoon ducks and you're just blasting the hell out of each other, and it's just so funny.
Like Duck Hunt?
No, I'll have to show you. It's so funny. Like, they just make little quacking noises, but then you're holding a shotgun and you're blowing your friends away. But yeah, it was super funny. But anyway, you could also check out my portfolio at www.alanmpelletierjr.com. Hit me up for commission work, graphic design work, video work, whatever. You know, I never sleep, so let me help you out. Brittany, this was amazing. Thank you so much for being on my show. I would love for you to come back anytime.
Yeah, thank you for having
if you
me.
This was ever fun. Need if you ever need a guest host on Nightcap, please let me know. I love true crime and I would love it.
Absolutely.
All right.